Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This second Sunday in Lent is devoted to crying out to our Lord that he would remember his mercy of old. Our Lord, though, does not forget. It is we who need the reminding. And so while we cry out for God to remember his mercies from of old, we are called then to remember them ourselves. And this is why the Canaanite woman is held up before our eyes. She remembers the Lord's promises, even though she was not of the house of Israel. She had somehow heard of the loving kindness, the gracious, the abundance of the steadfast love and mercy that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have poured out upon his people. Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon, and so she goes to the place where God's mercy is made manifest in human flesh. She goes to Jesus. "Help," she says, "O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is severely oppressed." And he answers her not a word. The disciples want to shoo her away. "Say something, Jesus," as if. "Say something to her," they say. "Send her away. We're tired of hearing her cry out to you." "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he says again, "to them, but not to her." He answered her again, not a word. But then she came, kneeling down, perhaps face upon the ground, perhaps even grasping at his ankles. "Lord, help me." Not help my daughter. Not Lord God, Son of David, the messianic title. Just help me. We wonder why Jesus was so harsh to her then. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Why our Lord did not answer her a word until then. It seems like this also is our common experience, where we cry out, "Remember your mercy, O Lord," and he answers us not a word. Perhaps he is pressing her, testing her. After all, she is a Canaanite. She comes from the region of Tyre and Sidon. She comes from the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. The pagans of that day were very liturgical. They knew all the right words to say, much like the Israelites who worshipped the golden calf with all the right words. As if our God is held captive by the words that we use, as if we can twist his arm just by saying the right stuff, as if he is some sort of divine vending machine that we put in the right amount, hit the right buttons, and he will do our bidding. Perhaps our Lord is testing her. She's a pagan. Perhaps she heard these words and she's putting them to the test. Perhaps she has already tried all her other household gods, which were legion. And he wants to see, does she believe? We wonder, if he is God, why does he not know? He is God in the flesh, and he set aside all of his divine rights and prerogatives. He set aside his omniscience to be a man, so that he could demonstrate submission to his Father and his Father's word and will for us. He tests her. She passes. How often is it the case that we think if we just ask in the right way and are asking for the right things, that somehow God must do what we want him to do? I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for my children, or my grandchildren, or my neighbor, when they are severely oppressed by demons. When our children stop coming to church, when our children start living together outside of marriage, when they are lured in by the philosophies of this age, that love is love, how often do we think, I'm not asking for me, I'm asking for my parents or grandparents who are ill, my wife, my husband. He answers us not a word, it seems. And we keep asking. Help them. Help them. Let us learn from the Canaanite woman. Not only that we would call out for God to remember his mercies of old, but that we would. Notice the change in what she asks for. Help me. Help me. Help me remember your mercies of old. Help me to trust in your word and in your will. Because the changes in our lives and in our families' lives and in our communities' lives do not begin with them out there. They begin with us. Lord, help me. Help me to remember your mercies of old. Help me to cling to your word and to your word alone. Help me to be more diligent about doing your word. Help me. O woman, great is your faith, he said. I have not found such faith in all of Israel. Our Lord Jesus Christ became flesh, bone of our bone, in order to accomplish what his Father sent him to do, which is for us men and for our salvation, to live the life of obedience that we have not lived, and to die the death that we deserve for having not lived it. To be raised so that we would have a new life. If God gave up his own Son, how will he not also give you all things? Give you all things. Help me, Lord, to be, to do, to think, to act better. And surely, just as you remember his promises of old, he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never forget the promises that he has made to you. And the only thing that he will remember no more is your sins. For they have been consumed by the cross. They have been buried in Christ's tomb. And there they remain. So remember the mercy of God our Father of old, and the mercies that he gives us that are new every morning. The mercy of acceptance and forgiveness by his Son. And cry out to him to help me. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.